to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner,
what's happening?
Episode 146. Oh, wow. You sound lost. Okay. Well, here's what's going down.
I'm just trying a different tone. I'm trying things out, you know?
You know what? I love it. You know what? There's many things that Eneke has, and range is also one of them.
I'm just testing out a new range of emotions.
She's got it all. She is all over. Give the Emmy goes to... Well, speaking of, we'll talk about the Emmys and see if either of us watch it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, we'll check that out.
Captain Marvel trailer just dropped.
I watched it. Did you watch it?
I did. I have so many thoughts. I want to talk to you about it. Okay. Also, ding, 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 school is back in session. I have a bonanza of a Minority Corner quiz. So I Quizlet. Okay. I hope you study.
Yes. I got my books. I got my protractors. I got my pencil bag.
Okay. All right. Because there will be a math component. Okay, good. Oh. You got your Lisa Frank?
I got my Trapper Keeper Lisa Frank. Well, nostalgia.
You might be prepared because we are going to be talking about pop culture. We're talking about the Emmys. We're going to talk about...
Everything.
Anita Hill. She's back in the... Anita Hill is back. And we're going to be talking about it all, politics. So it is going to cover it all. So get ready.
I'm ready. And I think...
I'm ready too.
That is going to be a good show.
Okay, well, let's get into it, Mama.
Let's go.
Hey, hey, Boo Thang.
What's going on with you?
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Microphone, microphone. Check, check, check.
Shouldn't you have done that before we hit play?
Oh, I know. Whoops. Oh, man. How the sausage is made. But I have a very fun and festive microphone check. Did you like that?
Check me out. I kind of feel like that's how you always check it. You're never like, check, 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 check.
You should be so lucky to ever work on a show with me and I have to be microphone checked because you will get the pre-show. You will get the bedazzle. Because you get people who just like will just tap on their mic, be like, tap. It's like, no, first of all, fuck you because it's bad for the mics.
I know. Don't tap on that.
Don't you tap on the mics. That's how you can tell someone, you're like, oh, she's unprofessional.
Yeah, because you do not tap a mic. I mean, I feel like if you listen to some of our earlier episodes... We would sneak in a little bonus of the checks, wouldn't we?
Oh, my God. You know what? Oh, let's have a reminiscence corner right now. I miss our microphone checks because we would be together and have to do them.
Yes, we don't do our microphone checks together anymore because of the distance.
Because of the distance. You know what? If you are looking for a treat and if you are new to the podcast, welcome.
Go to the
vaults. Yes. Go to episode 1 through 14 back in the day. Mm-hmm. And Eke and I used to record the show together, face-to-face. Yep. Just staring at each other.
The sound quality was terrible, but the friend quality was off the charts.
Off the charts. It was, you know, I was still in my California zone, so I was laid back, not as crotchety as I am now that I'm in New York.
The city will get to you.
I asked someone, I was like, why are there so many cats in New York City? And they were like, to eat all the rats.
It's true. That's very true. But you know what? Cats don't do their job.
They don't. You know what? Cats have it made. Because unlike, like, dogs gotta do their shit. They gotta, you know, like, love on you and da da. Cats, like, don't gotta do jack shit and people dote over them.
You
can't take the cat on a walk. You can't do anything fun or interesting with it.
Okay, so what we're saying is very controversial because a lot of cats are Max Fun.
I know you love cats. I know you do.
You know what it is. It's Toxoplasma gondii.
I'm sorry, speak of the English. My high school Spanish failed.
Toxoplasma gondii, and I probably am saying this wrong, but it's basically cats give off this odor
pheromone.
Essence. Pheromone.
And it's traps used for people.
Rats. Yeah, it's used for mice and rats where they like go, ooh, this is fun. I want to go towards that. And you know what? It works on people too.
Wow, and so you and I have not been hypnotized by the
Patsakazagazmi. Yeah, get that cat caca away from me, because I don't want to be dickmatized by a cat. And this is still controversy. It hasn't been fully proven, because cat people don't want to accept it.
It's enough for me to hear it from you, from the Aneke's mouth. It's enough. Oh my God, Aneke, I just remembered just now in this instant, in this mm-hmm. holy instant, you were in my dream last night.
Ooh, what was I doing?
We were at a picnic table.
Cute.
And I hadn't seen you in a while. And I was like, oh, hey, girl. And you were like, I'm super pregnant. And
well, I mean,
was like,
that might happen if you come here for winter break.
And then I looked at your stomach and you were like, doctor just told me there's a full body in here now. And I was like, I don't know. I got really weirded out by it. I was like, and you started laughing and giggling and chasing me with your pregnant belly.
That one, I'm offended. Two, I already have a whole body in me. It isn't like you grow an arm and a leg. Like, it's a legit whole body right now that's just getting bigger.
But it was like a baby-sized body. And like, you were like, I just went to the doctor. It was like, just a body. It didn't have like eyes or anything. It just was like body.
I don't like this dream.
You know what? But I was hearing, Oprah was saying to this guy who interprets dreams that dreams don't actually mean their literal sense. It means that like, it's the absence of something. So I was wanting the opposite of that. So it probably just meant I wanted to be closer to you and your baby and its fullness.
Oh, that's nice. I like that instead of me chasing you around with an eyeless baby.
Yeah, and like the opposite of that is I wanted to be near you and the baby and you're chasing me.
And the opposite of eyeless means you want to see the baby.
Exactly. Look at us interpreting
dreams. Interpretations, you
dream
know?
Dream interpretations. Speaking of interpretations mm-hmm. and dreams,
yeah.
Did you watch the Emmys? Great segue.
Nice segue. No. Did you watch it?
Mm-mm. No.
I did some reading on it, though.
I caught the highs and the lows. Big shout out to Vulture catching me up.
Okay. You know what?
Did we read the same article?
Read Vulture. Yeah, we did. But this reminds me, I actually have a question for you, which is not about the Emmys. And let's just do this because I forgot that you're a Vulture reader just like me.
Yeah, we don't see the same things.
So Vulture is the online blog for the New York Magazine. And they just released a interview, quote unquote, with Suyi Previn, who is Woody Allen's wife for like 20 plus years. And the controversy between her and him is that they had an affair that started when she was like...
Oh, she was like a child.
Yeah, and then to make matters worse, she is the adopted daughter of Mia Farrow, who he was dating at the time.
Yes.
And the author of the story is a friend of Woody Allen. So how do you feel about the author and the subject being friends? Like, some people are like, it's good because it gets like, you know, she has insider knowledge, so she was actually able to go in there because Suyi doesn't actually like to give interviews. But then another person to me is like, is biased as hell.
I actually didn't read that article because there's so many controversies to dig deep in. So many controversies, so little time. So that was the one that I just kind of was like, Woody Allen, boom. I just put it over to the side. I know he's a creep, so I didn't dig any deeper. So I can't get like a fair, I haven't read the article. Did you?
I read it.
What's your assessment?
I feel like it's biased. I feel like it's totally biased. And she takes some digs at the Me Too movement, which I think is kind of gross. And it's been bothering
me. So you're side-eyeing Vulture that they brought this article there.
That's the ultimate thing is like, do I trust Vulture now? Like, the integrity of their journalism seems like it's a little faltered to me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I had, like, I can't comment on that, but I had a very interesting, you know, it's interesting if you read different articles and what influences your opinion first, because I was on the Mary Sue, they were talking about the Emmys and how, you know, terrible it was. And I not to say that it wasn't, I didn't watch the whole entire thing, and, like, I read the highs and lows and whatnot, but did you see the opening number?
I heard about it where it was like, we're diverse now and like, thank God for diversity or whatever, some bullshit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that was like, it starts off with Kenan Thompson and
Kate McKinnon.
And then Titus shows up and Veronica Mars girl shows up and Sterling K. Brown. And the way that they pitched it, they were like, it was totally tone deaf, yada, yada. But when I watched it, it actually was really funny. I think it was poking holes. The idea of the song and dance number that we had solved everything about diversity. And then at the very end, they get a call. RuPaul comes out and they're like, you just got to call Mr. Thompson. And then he's saying, oh, we didn't actually solve it. Oh, it's like spiking the football at the 50-yard line. Okay, got it. And Well, they get it that like they didn't solve it. It hasn't been solved.
Oh, that they didn't. Okay.
Yeah. What, can we get a retraction on the ew?
Yeah, sure. But I mean, I'm still just confused by it. Why are you I'm here listening.
Well, no, because the idea is that they're singing that like diversity, like we did it, we solved diversity.
Okay, got it.
That we solved it, and then they have a dance number where there's like, it's the everyone's included dance, and they have there's a funny phrasing where it's like every dancer represented like a specific race or whatnot, and there was like 40 of them, and so it was like a big variety of like so all the different like African and Southeast Asian, so it just was very. I thought it was like, it was funny. It was a joke. And I think it was like the joke is that like we didn't solve it. But reading the Mary Sue's article, I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible. I think they just really. So I had a bias against it going in. And then I watched it. I was like, wait a minute. This is actually kind of funny. And I think,
okay. So I get what you're saying, where it's like, and also I'm kind of defensive because I read about it being tone deaf and not that great. Right. And I haven't actually watched it.
I recommend going and watching it, and I think that you'll get a chuckle out of it. Kenan Thompson and Kate McKinnon do a really good job in it, and just like I thought it was actually really for primetime television, was really well done. They're saying we're not done. Like that was the whole.
We still need to work on this shit.
Yeah, and like that was the whole entire point. And I think the Mary Sue was just mad because Colin Jost and Michael Che were hosting, and they wanted in this year it should have been two women. It was their opinion, so they were already going in.
Okay, bitter. So that's another thing that I've been interested in about writing of like diversity and stuff, where it's like I wonder if, and this is going to sound controversial.
You know I love the controversy, so lay it on me.
Sometimes I feel like people kind of get a little. Oh, God. How do I say this without sounding like an asshole?
We could always edit this in the editing room.
This is true.
We can meet in the ladies' room, which is also the editing room, and we can fix it in there. A meeting in the editing room.
Because it's like, James.
Yes.
I like a joke.
I love a joke, too.
And I also like to be PC.
Yeah. It's a tough line to walk.
So sometimes I just feel like. It's like, when can you joke and when can you not? And and who gets the authority to say that it's not an appropriate joke? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it has, like, and I think that's where this huge conversation is right now in terms, like, of where, I guess, comedy is. And I guess, like, for me, why that sketch works is because, I don't know, it was, like, the presence of, for one, I trust, like, Kenan Thompson and Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, me too.
And so I think it's interesting, too, because, like, then when you had Colin Jost, and I watched Michael Che and Colin Jost, their monologue up there, and it was awkward because I think there are two dudes talking about things like hashtag Me Too. So I think it's, like, who you have.
Yeah, they're awkward. Yeah, Michael Che has said some shitty things.
Which sucks because I loved his Michael Che Lives Matter special that he did like a year ago, but you know what? That was a year ago.
You can't be defending Louis C.K. I'm sorry, Michael Che.
Oh, I didn't see he did that. And he also said some shit about the woman who won for Nanette. She didn't win.
Yeah, Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah, I saw her little spiel. And like a lot of men have been like, again, like sexism and comedy have been like hating on her that like, they don't get Nanette. They're like, it doesn't really seem like it's comedy because her approach is different. And he was one of those people who's like, I don't get it. I don't think it's really comedy.
So it's an interesting line. And I've noticed that, I don't know if it's because I'm turning into an old person slowly, but sometimes a lot of the blogs that I frequent, I'm kind of like, okay, guys, calm it down. Come on.
I, yeah,
Yeah, but then I don't want to say that because that's policing totally. Too, you know?
I do, you know what, it's in this fine balance. And I think in general, I think that we, I like, it's been, a, you know what it's been? Like, think about this, Aneke. It mm-hmm. has been 4 years of us raging against the machines. And it started with Black Lives Matter. I remember me calling you up on the phone. Mm-hmm. And we were literally checking, like, this isn't okay, this isn't okay. And it's literally, like, it's been this call to arms to, like, check everything. And I think we've been doing that. And I think that there does need to come a moment of, there needs to become that balance of being able to take the jokes. I get exactly what you're saying of you know, putting the pitchforks down sometimes when it's time. Because sometimes, like, we get into these mob mentalities, and I'm guilty as well. And we get, and are just, the court of public opinion is one of the hardest courts to go to because we're so
vicious. And, like, and I feel like the line always moves. It's like playing Cards Against Humanity. It's like, I'll be playing it, I'll be chuckling, I'll be laughing, and then somebody will say something, and I'll be like, that's not funny. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's like, where do... Oh, everybody has their line.
I think it's a personal thing of I think... checking, like, where it's coming from, if it's a place, and there's always an educational moment too of on being like, hey, this is why this is actually kind of racist or homophobic or sexist, and I think it's like joke by joke,
right?
Like, I don't, and it's joke in context as well. Something that I think that
context is huge.
Saying who's saying it, the room that it's being sent in. I think something that Michelle Buteau said that I've always stuck with in terms of comedy is that, like, anything can be funny, but you've got to make it funny. Mm-hmm. And so, and especially the riskier the joke, you gotta fucking go for it all the way. You gotta fucking go for it all the way and, like, really find the way to, like, find the humor in it so that even I can be like, oh, okay, you're right. Yeah, I should lighten up about that. Or, like.
Exactly. Also, I think who's saying it, and this is, I think what you just said got to me, and I now understand my problem with it. I think a lot of, we're in such blog culture where it's like the Mary Sue, Vulture, Jezebel, all of that. Everybody's kind of speaking in a casual tone, but for everyone.
Ooh.
And that irritates me. And I feel like if you're going to write in a casual tone, you need to say it's from your opinion.
Yeah.
You know? Then I'll value it more. Because if I'm out here writing something about how this joke about that an Asian American woman said, I'm offended by it.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Like, who can, like, it doesn't represent me, you know? And I feel like a lot of that is happening, and I'm just gonna say it. Like, I go on Jezebel, and these, like, white ladies will be complaining about black people, like, being offended, and I'll be like, you're not black.
This isn't true.
You don't know, you don't. So it's like, say your opinion. You should be like, as this person, I feel offended, because then it doesn't feel so blanket statement too.
I absolutely agree. And I see it like, you know, I went to a comedy show this past weekend, and anytime I go to a comedy show, it's like, okay, let's see what sort of, you know, homophobic, sexist, racist jokes that I might get thrown at. But it actually wasn't. It wasn't that bad, but again, you just got to be able to, like, you know, stick the landing and just, you know, make it funny. At the same time, too, it's sort of like, I think if I'm being offended, it's also an opportunity for me to check and look at that, too, and say, like, okay, is this, why am I offended?
Why
is this something
offended?
That I can release? Is this touching at insecurity of myself as well? Like, it's a two-way street. Like, we gotta do our own little check-ins as well. And, like, have I grown past this? Can I release this? And just doing the checklist of, like, who said it? What was the intention? Is it really that thing that I think it is? Can I put my sword down? You know?
Exactly. I love that. Respecting yourself and checking in, and then also respecting other people.
Because there are many a time where it's like, oh, okay, James, I can let this go. Like, oh, it's time for me to move on that. Or actually, you know what? I see what the joke is. I know where their intention is. Or I know what their intention is. It was racist as fuck, and I'm gonna call them out on it.
Exactly. I think that's good. I think we solved it, James.
Look at us. Minority Court. We're only a few minutes in and we're already solving the comedy crisis of 2018. Never forget. Never forget. Ooh, I just remembered I need to add something into Quizlet for you. Just thought of a...
Quizlet's coming
it
up.
It is coming up. And Teacher James, and that's my full name. Teacher James.
Is there a hyphen between the two teachers?
Yes. It's Teacher and then Teacher James.
Okay.
Teacher James... Marquez Smith.
Wow, now we're really confusing.
I've been married a few times, and I don't need you to judge me for it, okay?
You know what? You're collecting those alimony checks, and I respect you for
that. I went to the bank today, and they said, teacher James Marquez Smith Jones. I got married again. Yeah, Marquez.
Is that a name? Mm-hmm. Marquez?
One of my late partners. They're still alive, but I'm so bitter that I'm just like dead to me.
That you consider
them dead.
Dead
to me.
Okay.
See how you do? Don't become one of my exes. I mean, my lates.
No.
Yikes. So I was at the bank and they were like, teacher James Marquez Smith Jones. I got married again.
I thought it was Rockez.
You know what?
It's a floating name.
They were always changing it on me. And you know what they said? They said, your bank loan is denied. So it's been a rough day.
Oh, yeah. Shit. What are you going to do?
You know what? I'll figure it out. I always do.
You're crafty like
that.
I am
crafty. Speaking of things before we wrap up, things that we did see, not for the episode, but for this corner.
Yes.
What, did you see the Captain Marvel trailer?
Yes, bitch, I
did.
Okay.
Ooh, you know she likes it when she gives me my first name, bitch.
Stop it.
My maiden name. When you give me my maiden name.
That's your maiden name is bitch.
They don't call me that for nothing. Thoughts,
God,
reactions.
It's good. What are your thoughts?
Okay, and I'm going to speak very candidly. As someone who has a very interesting relationship with Marvel brand, I got reverse Aunt Viv'd on a show that I was working on, which means I was replaced by with a darker skinned guy, black guy. But, you know, I digress.
Okay, you know what?
We don't have time to even touch on that.
We don't have time for that. Okay.
I got reverse Aunt Viv, but my heart still. I was actually so bitter the other day. DC Universe just launched the other day. I started looking at mm-hmm. jobs over at DC.
No, don't you dare! Their content.
But
is
I want to
so
be hosting again. Ugh, anyway,
I know
okay,
you
thank
will.
You.
But Captain Marvel, I want to know what's going on. With
you
that.
Know what? I got chills watching that trailer. Dope as fuck.
It's good, isn't it?
And it's like, I don't need to see anything. It's such a great teaser trailer, as in, like, I have no idea what the fuck is happening, but I'm ready to... And it's, like, such a good teaser trailer, because you saw so much, but, like, just enough. Nothing is spoiled.
And you still... Yup, and the plot line is still kind of confusing, and it's still a little mysterious, and the visuals are excellent, and it kind of...
And the music behind it,
is
right?
So good.
Oh,
I've been looking...
So good.
Okay, so online, people, and also a certain Facebook group of a certain podcast that shall remain nameless, not ours...
But you know who you are. You know who you are.
Has been... A lot of people were saying... Meh, not that excited. And I'm kind of like,
understand.
Who the fuck
are these
is
men?
You? No,
are these men
and
this?
Women.
Women?
Yes.
Ladies get information. We
I
need
don't
to support
get it.
Each other.
I mean, while I will say the her and Tahira was a little hokey dokey, I don't mind it though.
I was here for it. But here's the thing. Also, we have to remember, like, the main audience for this, as much as us adults,
are babies.
The kids.
Yes.
The kids. And they're like, this is amazing.
Yes. I think it looks great. Brie Larson is, I feel like, an excellent choice. She looks badass as all hell. Even as the superhero, and I loved her, like, Top Gun, sunglasses, Air Force looking pilot.
Photo that we've had for, like, 2 years as our only photo as, like, her as Captain Marvel for years. But yes, I agree.
Her moving as that is so good. The space scenes look good. Her like, the age... reversal for Samuel Jackson is weird, but you know what? I'm here for it.
It's, I'm like, oh my God, I'm back in the 90s all over again. Mm-hmm. I also love that it doesn't feel like Marvel's been doing really good with I would say Ant-Man and Black Panther, that like usually the first of any movie, mm-hmm. like
origins.
The first of a franchise, origins, like I usually don't like them. It's like,
me
it's
too.
So slow. It's like usually like I want to like already be the character already. I love it. She's like already it, you know?
They're
like
us in.
Literally, she drops in through a blockbuster.
I know.
which is just amazing. Like, you're just like, oh, this is so dope. Like, she drops into a fucking blockbuster.
I know. I love it. And also, it's a twist in the origin story because she don't even know her origin, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's we get to find it out as she's finding it out.
And some really great things for the future of Captain Marvel and the brand of Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
so
Proton.
Photon. You already beat me to the punch. Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, so her best friend, her daughter, her daughter is in the movie, essentially grows up to become Photon, who is like a Captain Marvel type.
Yeah, and they're even hinting at small little things. So if you look at the poster, which is actually pretty badass, I love it. It looks great. In the corner of the shadow.
Cat.
Yes, they have her cat.
Her cat, which opens up, I forget, something chewy, something or other, who opens up dimensions, has a bunch of tentacles, and like just little fucking Easter egg in the poster, a little kitty cat. Like, oh, and Gemma Chan from Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes,
which I think
Crazy
she's
Rich
playing,
Asians.
Maybe not a good girl. Maybe not a good girl.
Well, she's on Star.
I don't know. I don't want to spoil. I don't want to spoil. But.
Well, she's playing Minerva, which is a part of the Star Force, and that's not spoiling shit.
It's in like anything that you read. Also, what's his face? What's his name from Blood Diamond? He was also in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Demon Hinju.
Yes, and his character is on Star Force as well, but we know that in Guardians of the Galaxy, he bad.
Same with Lee Pace,
yes.
Who plays Ronan the Accuser. Both those guys are going to not be totally bad in this movie, right?
Yeah. It's so fascinating.
I'm so ready.
I think we're going to be thrown into this amazing epic of a universe. And it also just feels like like even Samuel Jackson, the overture, he's like, yeah, you know, I was getting ready to give up on these things too. Another alien.
No.
And, like in the trailer, he says, like, his kid.
He was ready. He's ready to start over. Like, it's almost like an origin story for Nick Fury.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, but I thought it was, like, it seems almost, like, very meta because he's, like, another car chase, another alien invasion. And, like, because it's almost like that's what this movie is. But he's, like, I was going to give up on all of this. And then you came along and then it's her. And I feel like Captain Marvel's going to revitalize.
Oh,
it already started revitalizing with Black Panther and then, like, this coming in. It feels like new is here.
It is phase whatever the next phase is. I am so
phase
ready
four,
for
she's
it.
Knock knock knocking along. And I also
I was just gonna say the whole thing kind of hinges off of this movie. Like, this movie has to be good in order for us to believe her coming in for Avengers again
to come and
to
save the day.
And then after that is the whole restart of the Marvel movies again for the next 10 years. So this movie is literally like the crutch of what will make the next version of Marvel movies grow. Yeah. So I'm so excited.
Well, and I also think it's really smart because they still haven't released, like, they're not talking, there's, like, nothing's being talked about for Avengers 4.
Right.
And I think that Kevin Feige, what he learned is that, like, years, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they had said, here's all the movies that we're doing and here's the order they're coming in.
Yeah.
So there was never, like, a surprise or someone, like, it was like, oh, I know he's not gonna die because he's coming back in this movie over there.
Yeah.
So now they're, like, really just focusing on, like, one movie at a time. I don't even think that we'll see a trailer for the next Avengers until, like, well, into, like, 2009, not until Captain Marvel is out.
Yeah,
because they just,
like,
really want to be focusing on that.
Captain Marvel needs to be out until we get a trailer for the next Avengers, and then the next Avengers movie needs to be out before we get a timeline of the next movies. Like,
really, because they don't want to spoil anything. Mm-hmm. They're already like, damn it, sorry, there's already Spider-Man 2 Homecoming.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? They also got to know that we know that these people aren't going to die. Like, Black Panther, come on.
But there's some other people who are up in the air.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Aneke, I hope you're... now that the fun is done.
Okay.
Because it's time for school time.
I'm ready to
ding,
hit
ding,
the
ding,
books.
Ding, 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 ding.
I am
back
ready.
To school with a Quizlet SAT.
T?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
It's like, it's a map... I got a big ass back to school Quizlet for you.
I'm ready.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
I'm just going to end with this. Everybody, you're doing a remarkable job of swimming through the shit show that is parenting.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quizlet ding, Corner, ding, ding. Quizlet Corner.
Ding, ding, ding.
Do, 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 Quizlet ding. Corner. I haven't had...
Back to school, Quizlet style.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Amelia Bedelia...
That, we did that off air, but now we are.
Oh, I never... I barely know when I'm recording and not. I assume that the cameras are always recording. I assume that my life is just Omarosa style.
You know, sure.
Well, who would play Amelia Bedelia in the live action movie, and why has that not already happened?
I don't know. There's a lot of good candidates. Like, Kate McKinnon would make a great Amelia Bedelia.
Oh, she'd make a good Amelia
Kristen
Bedelia.
Kristen Wiig would make a great Amelia Bedelia.
Maya Rudolph gets my vote.
Will make a great
because you,
Amelia
you
Bedelia.
See her in that little outfit. Oh, that's my vote. Yeah, Maya Rudolph.
That would be great.
Also, sidebar, think about this. If Kamala Harris does become president in 2020, mm-hmm. get ready for Maya Rudolph coming back to SNL. Just saying. For little guest spots.
Man, do you think... I'm just hoping for a miracle.
I watched Kamala Harris in an interview, and I just was like, Maya Rudolph. There were certain things that she was doing. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, look at you trying to distract the teacher. Oh, I know
that.
How you are.
You distracted yourself.
You kids today.
Okay, give me that quiz.
Okay, your first section is about entertainment.
All right.
So I hope you know entertainment. One of these is not true.
All right.
Viola Davis has no regrets about doing the movie The Help.
Mm-hmm.
Could be true, could not be true. Tom Arnold and Mark Burnett got into a fight over Donald Trump at a pre-Emmys party.
Mm.
Could be true, could not be true. RuPaul's Drag Race makes Emmy her story. Mm. Could be true, could not be true. Julie Chen has left the talk to spend more time with her quote-unquote family.
Mm.
And number five, just what everyone asked for, James Comey's memoir is coming to television into a miniseries.
Ew, who's asking for that?
Which one of these is not true?
Well, I am fully tapped into all of my entertainment news, and ooh. Viola Davis does regret The Help.
Oh, yes, you got that right. Yes, she does. Actually, you know what? Based on your last reaction to that last one, you're right. I guess two of them were not true because no one was actually asking for James Comey's. You're right. Yeah, no one was asking
always
for that.
Always gotta throw me a curveball with these Quizlets. Changing the answer right in the middle.
Hey, welcome to School of Hard Knocks here at Minority Corner. Just getting you ready for life.
Okay, just knock me down.
Twice as good to be half as much. Oof. Or what is it?
Something like that. Half as whatever.
Good to, no, it's half as.
Twice as good to get as half as much.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's it.
Yeah,
yeah, so Viola Davis, they asked her in an interview, like, have you ever regretted doing a movie? And she was like, she said The Help, and she said that at the end of the day, that it wasn't the voices of the maids that were heard.
Yeah.
She's like, I know Minnie, you know, I know Abilene, they were my grandma, they were my mom, and I know that if you do a movie where the whole premise is, I want to know what it feels like to work for white people and to bring up children in 1963, I want to hear how you really feel about it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I never heard of that.
What the hell?
And she also made a comment of how, like, the movie really tries to show, like, oh, but there were good white people throughout,
I know,
like,
they
the entire
really
movie.
Hammer that in, where it's like, come on.
Yeah. So you're right on that. And that, it made me think of, like, I think when you and I had offline conversations about Sharper Objects.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're selling me on it to continue on it. And I think that was sort of my gripe when it was Sharper Objects, was like the, you know, again, we talked about in the podcast that my my great-great-grandmother, she was, you know, worked in the house as a slave. And
you mean
we don't get to hear
maid,
these stories.
Not a slave?
A housemaid. A housemaid.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, wow. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, like, she, I mean, slavery was still happening. Yeah. I did the timeline. Like, slavery was still happening. Oh. And so she was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, she was a housemaid slave. Oh, shit. So, yeah. So it's like wanting to hear what those stories are. Mm-hmm. But you did bring up a good point that in Sharper Objects that they do address some of that conversation. Yeah. I guess I would just love to see a story where it's like focused on her.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, of course. And of course, there's going to be problems with Sharper Objects because that's not, that wasn't the main story. But right. I'm not here to just only defend Sharper Objects, you know. I was sure, not.
And I don't. Yeah. No. No. No.
Thinking
yeah.
I get into that, but
like, oh,
there are black characters in it that I didn't bring up right. last time on the show, like
his wife, yeah, her boss's wife.
Yeah, her boss's wife, and then also there's a family at the end who plays a crucial role, where there's a teenage girl and the mother of the girl, and so it isn't like just showing black people as subservient. Just, and in, sure, and in yeah. fact, it kind of highlights how backwards that town is, whereas like mm-hmm. the only people in that town are subservient that are black, but in outside towns they're just people,
right?
But yep, it's still totally. Fucked up. I mean, centralized stories need to be, we need way more centralized stories of black voices that yeah. aren't just background decoration.
And that, especially in that time, because we've seen them as maids for so long, right. and I feel like I've never have gotten to hear those stories, and it's for such a long time.
Especially and, the help, which is supposed to be surrounded about that whole people.
Right.
It's yep. literally called the help, and all we do is focus on, what's her face, Emma Stone yeah. and her curly wig.
Yeah, it really felt like it was really starring the, what's the opposite of the help?
The
people being served.
The people who live there. Called. Yeah.
That's what we should have been called. People who live here. The helpless. Sorry, Emma Stone. Yeah. Well, we just renamed that. Yeah, fight broke out between Tom Arnold and Mark Burnett. Tom Arnold is doing a show on Vice looking for the hidden Trump tapes. Mm-hmm. And Mark Burnett, who was he's a reality TV producer, and he like apparently choked Tom Arnold. There was a big fight.
Which is like, what is about going it, on?
What I love about it is that Allison Hannigan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and How I Met Your Mother, mm-hmm. she was walking right behind them, and she's like, what is my life? This is why I never go out. And like,
I love her. She like, for some reason, just cracks me up.
And Brian Fogel, the director of Icarus.
Okay, random.
He shot it on his phone. He captured
it. Oh, you got
it? Of course. Always a documentary. But then Roma Downey, Mark Burnett's wife,
Mark
slapped
Burnett
his phone out of his hand.
Mark Burnett is married to Roma Downey?
I guess so.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
That's a weird-ass pairing.
So there's all that drama that was happening.
Have you seen Icarus? It's good.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a great documentary because you think you're there for one thing.
Yeah, nope.
And, boo, you go for something else. Like, I think what's so brilliant is that the document, like, I feel like they thought they were shoot. Like, you always hear this from people who shoot documentaries. They never know what it's going to be until it's done.
Yeah, so true.
And prime example, because halfway through, the documentary becomes a whole different story.
I love it when a documentary takes a reverse of course, turn. Where I'm like, where yeah. am I now? It's so good. Go check it out, guys. It's on Netflix.
RuPaul's Drag Race won Outstanding Reality Show for the first time ever and put an end to the era of The Voice and Amazing Race's 7-year winning streak.
Wow.
And RuPaul picked up the trophy for Outstanding Host for Reality Programming for his third year.
Nice.
And setting a new streak of his own. So they are making history.
I love it.
And so and boo on James Comey. We don't even need to talk about that.
Yuck.
He's getting so rich off of ruining this country.
I'm done.
Yeah. So, boo on that. James Comey, we're putting you in the corner.
Yeah,
we're putting you
in the fucking corner.
Get in the corner.
Just
we haven't put anybody in the corner in a long time. Just, and you know what? You know what he needs to do? Write checks for like reparations or some shit.
That would be awesome.
That's what he needs to do.
He needs to fade into the past because fuck.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Girl, bye. Julie Chen left the talk.
You mean Julie Chen Moonves?
Moonves. So Julie Chen Moonves. is married to Les Moonves, fucker of CBS.
Yes.
Head of CBS, who, surprise, he's a terrible man mm-hmm. who's been harassing women for a long time. And Julie Chen signed off recently on Big Brother as like, I'm Julie Chen Moonves. Good
like,
night.
Get she's, out of here.
She's never in the history of Big Brother. This show has been running for 20 years. Like, she's never
said that.
Once ever said
what
that.
What a weird stance. I mean, it's her husband, but still, yuck.
Right. But then she's on the talk. And, you know, I watch clips of The View on the reg. Mm-hmm. And they don't tend – they were trying to stay – like in the it was going to be a weird thing because, like, The View and the talk, which is, like, the talk is, like, the – I don't know.
Budget version of The View.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to say it, but then the even more budget version is The Real.
Yes. But, you know, I will say this about the talk. I will appreciate, though, the diversity on their panel. But, you know,
The Real has diversity.
I guess they both have diversity. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And actually, I mean, The View also has, like, you know, two women of color.
Yeah, it's true.
Out of, like, you know.
They also have Megan Mahan, who can yuck.
I absolutely disagree.
You like her?
I do like Meghan McCain. I think it's important to, do you watch the clips of The View?
Yes.
Do you watch The View?
Summer, I was like, let me just watch The View. So I've watched several episodes of The View, and she bugs. And it's not even because she's conservative. It's just that she's not informed with her yelling.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Her yelling. Fair enough. I guess for me, reason why I am like, I have to be like, for myself, Meghan McCain is a conservative that I could have dinner with and at least still have a conversation with.
That's
where
good.
She's not like a full on
you can go
Trumper.
For me.
I think it's important for us to still be able to have conversations with people that we disagree with and still be able to get along with people that we disagree with. And I think for myself, it's like Meghan McCain, I look at her as like, oh, she's the one conservative that I could sit down at the table with. And she's like, she reminds me of like the Republicans of old. Like, I think you would agree that she's very anti-Trump. I thought her speech at her father's eulogy was beautiful.
Yeah.
Speech.
I mean,
I think.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's good that you feel that way with her, but she just rubs me wrong. And it isn't because she's conservative. It's her tactic of having conversation. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem like she listens. And it's coming from a very privileged background.
Totes, yeah.
And that to me doesn't feel like a meeting space. But that's just personality wise too, you know? Mm-hmm. Like some people bother. Like I love Joy Behar, but I don't know if I could go to lunch with her. You know, it's just like different personalities and her personality bugs.
Yeah. I guess for me it's like I like she's, you know, pro, she has nothing wrong with like LGBT people.
Yeah.
There's certain things like on Black Lives Matter. She does understand that there is racial. She's not one of those Republicans who just like racism's done. Like, why are you protesting and marching? Like she does understand it and get it. So I appreciate for that point. Mm. But Julie Chen, she left the talk.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to me because it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's a missed opportunity. Like if she were to stay on the talk, she would have had to like, hashtag Me Too is not going anywhere. And her husband is like a part of that.
Right.
And I feel like, I don't know. I mean, everybody makes their own decision and stuff, but she's such a strong woman who's built her own career.
Right.
And I just seems like it's a missed opportunity to hit this on the forefront.
I also feel like it's a little hard though too, because he's the head of CBS and this is a show that's on CBS and she's his wife.
Totally.
So that kind of puts it into a complicated stance where is she going to talk about the head of CBS who happens to be her husband on a CBS show?
Well, he's gone now. Like,
yeah,
he's gone.
Yeah, true. True.
Right. Yeah. So there's one less hurdle for her to have to worry about. Phew. But now how am I going to talk about my husband? But I guess, like, you know, too, I do have to look at the human side of it. Because for me, I'm just like, girl, leave him. He is terrible.
Yeah, but she has a kid with
him. She's in love with him. And she's, like, it's also, like, hard, like, night and day to, like, you thought you were married to this person and now you're married to this other person. So you know what, Julie Chen?
I have a hard time saying anything bad about the spouses of people of these things because it's like some may know, some may not know. We don't know what's going on in that household. So it's hard to put blame on the spouses when
I'm not putting any blame on her.
But I do feel like some
all.
People have been a little bit.
On Julie Chen, you better get off Julie Chen wrote Julie Chen bot.
I didn't know you were
used to call her.
So into Julie Chen.
I've been watching Julie Chen for like 15, how many seasons of Big Brother? 19? No, I stopped around 15 because I got racist. But I came back for Celebrity
Big
Brother.
I literally have no opinion about Julie Chen.
Oh, I love Julie Chen. I am so mad they used to call her Julie Chen Bot. I've practiced in my imagination talking to Julie Chen as I sat in the Big Brother house down to the final two. Oh, Julie Chen's a part of my life.
So wild. Wow, I'm learning things about you. Just, you love Meghan McCain. Julie Chen is in your scrapbook.
I would, like, get a drink with Meghan McCain. We're the same age. Yeah.
Just, and, you know.
She makes me feel better about being, like, a liberal, because I'm like, oh, I could have. Oh, she's my one conservative friend. That's what
I'm,
I guess,
just
she
saying,
gets to speak for me.
At your inevitable birthday party, I will not be interacting with her.
Oh, but you know I'm just going to sit you guys at the same table
because no,
I
be
love
and not
the
show
drum.
Up.
I'm not. Well, not going to tell you.
That is,
I'll be like,
rude.
And I can, don't worry, you're sitting at the other side of Meghan McCain. I think you guys could get along.
Rude.
Watch it. Some of the things, you know, when you, like, don't like someone, but then, like, you get to know them, you're like, oh my God, you're my best friend.
No.
Okay.
I have the site.
Now we're going into... You do got the site. You know what? That's all you had to say to me, Aneke.
You're just more
and
forgiving
I, you know
than
what?
I am. You're more
Pencils
generous
down.
Than me. I'm crotchety in my old age. Crotchety, that's the word for this episode.
Crotchety Aneke. Or just crotchety in general.
You said you were crotchety too. We're both crotchety.
Oh, crotchety twins.
Crotch
twins. Whoops.
Twins.
Look at them crotchety twins over there. We're going to call this Crotchety Corner. Welcome to Crotchety Corner. All right. Your next segment. Aneke, you've got... Okay, we've got to fly through. You've got three more segments.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I told you it's a bonanza SAT quiz.
Okay.
Queertainment.
Okay.
So, question number one of these is not true.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. is having its first ever bi pride.
Bi pride?
Could be true, could not be. Bi pride.
Okay.
Oscar Isaac co-signs on fanship of Finn and Poe. Poe Finn.
Mm.
Finn now.
Mm-hmm.
Trans models hit the runway at Fashion Week and Marco's show featuring all transgender models.
Mm.
Rapper says midlife crisis caused him to make amateur gay X-rated film.
Oh, what?
Do you need me to reread that for you?
No, I think I soaked that one in.
Confirmation. Creator of Bert and Ernie confirms they were never intended to be seen as homosexual.
Okay. Is that it?
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. You got to tell me when you're going to...
Oh, yeah, that's it. Which one of these is not true?
The last one. There was confirmation that Bert and Ernie are partners.
Ooh, look at, I thought I was going to get you with that. I said it very seriously.
You did.
I said the word homosexual.
But you know what, James? I be reading.
You sure? You know, you've been so busy. I was like, I really was like, ooh, I'm going to get her
I
this
mean,
week.
I mean, honestly, do you want to know the truth?
Yeah,
that's the only
the
one
truth.
I read. So,
all the snaps. Okay, like, ooh, you lucked out.
I was like, ooh,
universe
I don't,
is shining
ooh,
on
I
you.
How am I going to do this? And then I was like, ah, there we go.
Oh, got it. Yeah, the writer Mark Saltzman. He started Sesame Street in 1984, and he said that he modeled Bert and Ernie after his partner Arnie, though he was the Ernie and he looked more like Bert.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that.
And yeah, like it was, you know, not like he went to the writer's room and was like, this is me and my partner, but he was just sort of writing different scenarios that were happening in his house and his, you know, room, in his space. And it's a really great interview. We'll link it. He talks about just like, you know, working in Sesame Street in the 80s mm-hmm. and just and during the AIDS epidemic and just like his experiences of like, you know, his friends dying and then trying to do different programming. He had tried to do like he tried to like, you know, write like a gay story, but they weren't able to get it in there into Sesame Street. Just really fascinating. But he did get there are like subtextual gay characters in Sesame Street, like the Miss M, which is modeled after Bette Midler.
But wait,
Patti LaBelle was on the show.
I love it.
The Sublime Miss M was a character on Sesame Street that he had modeled after Bette Midler.
I love it. Have you heard, though, that Sesame Street has actually released a statement saying that they are puppets, so they can't have sexuality?
Well, I'm going with the guy who created it,
yeah,
so fuck off Sesame Street.
Exactly, and also puppets are dating each other and stuff, and they have kids, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure Miss Piggy and Kermit have had, like, you know...
Sex.
Pig... like, pig... Yeah. She, like... Isn't she always going crazy? Like, I've seen it. I've seen it in, like, the Adult Muppets show. I've seen that. I've seen them puppets have it doing it. I've seen it. So, yeah. Can we talk about this rapper's midlife crisis?
Okay, so who is this rapper's midlife?
So... Josh so-called Dolgan, he's an openly gay Canadian rapper, which is why
what's his name?
He's not so-called.
so-called?
He's not quite hit Drake Canadian fame yet, where he's crossed over to the American pop charts. But he connected with porn star River Wilson on Grindr, and they were chatting it up. And he wrote a script, and then while his parents were away, he shot a porno in their house called The House Sitter.
While his parents were away? So this wasn't a midlife crisis?
No, it is a midlife crisis. He just shot it at his parents' house while they were away.
What is happening?
Because they have a really nice house. It's a very artsy porn. Like, he's really, like, he is a film aficionado. Let me read the description to you.
Okay.
Brownies are brought over as a tasty gift, and then the two engage in a game of chess. Soon after, they have invigorating sex in front of the fireplace. But there are also forays into the fantastical. The House Sitter features a dream sequence in which Wilson and Braun meet up in the snow wearing outrageous mask. The dream sequence notably features snowshoes. What? So is True Canadians, a cross between an NFB documentary and a David Lynch movie.
A David Lynch movie?
Oh, yeah, because they wear a mask and it's weird.
They wear... I don't know if I want my erotic movies mixed with David Lynch.
Yeah, I saw Mulholland Drive and that shit's crazy. So... But you know what? I gotta support my fellow black rappers.
Oh, he's
my
black?
Fellow black. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, way to bury the lead. Yeah, he's black gay rapper.
See, we need that aspect because that makes me even more endeared to him.
See, let him express himself through his stories.
Why you got filmed at his parents' house, though? That feels a little...
Well, that's the detail that it's one of those things I read. I was like, ooh, Aneke's got to hear this because she's going to have some problems. They have a nice house.
Oh my
it's God. David Lynch's. So Oscar Isaac, he talked about, because there's the ship between Finn and Poe, and I buy it. He said to the HuffPost, I'm all about keeping it as fluid as possible.
Nice.
There are a lot of interesting people in the galaxy. It'd be a shame to cut off 50%.
Look at that. I like that.
And then he says, I think Poe's open to any kind of adventure. And he said that he's been playing up the subtext.
Yeah, I feel like he has a little bit, especially in the second movie.
Yeah, there was a lot of winks and longings for when it's like he's just in the other room, Poe. Calm down. He's like, well, do you have to go to Vegas? Do you have to go to Vegas Planet? But wait. Oh, Finn! And then he does reckless things because Finn's gone. He's just like, well, I'm going to drive the ship over here. Spoilers.
Yep.
And Bi Pride is happening. It's the first ever, September 22nd in LA.
Oh, it's in LA. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys, it's coming up. It's like right around the corner. Wait a minute. Okay. Wait, September 22nd?
Yeah.
When is this going to be released?
September 22nd. So go right now.
Right now. If you're in LA, go outside.
Get out your doors right now. Go support. March in the streets. Do it. Listen to the rest of this podcast while you're there.
Yeah.
Tell them that the crotchety corner sent you.
Yeah. And spread the word. People need to know about this podcast.
Make a little poster. Hand out some leaflets. Tweet. This next one's all about Anita Hill.
Wait, what about the transgender models?
Oh, thank you for keeping me 100.
Got to keep you on task.
Because you know how I get. I am that teacher who's ready. Like, next question. Yes. So Marco Marcos had 34. Marco Marcos has had transgender models in his runway before, but this is the first time that he had all transgender models.
Oh.
And Marco Marcos said that I wanted to create a space to celebrate trans bodies. This was an opportunity for their presence to be undeniable and reinforce that trans is beautiful.
I love it. That's beautiful.
I'm going to send the link because he is so they were all 34 of them. Mm-hmm. So fucking hot.
Well, they're
like
models.
Everything on me is a wreck just thinking about
because
it.
Because they're like, models.
The trans men, the trans women, they were just all fucking gorgeous.
I mean, I hate to be a dick, but that's the one stipulation to be a model
job.
Is you got to be hot. Right.
But I do love that, like, well, yeah. And I love that they were like Marco Marcos is showing too, of just like, look at all these hot fucking transgender men and women.
I love it. I think, like, it's beautiful. I think it needs to be done more so, like,
yeah.
And to the point where it becomes ho hum, regular, everyday, whatever. Oh, yeah. You know?
Like, oh, they're trans, whatever. I don't care. But did you watch, you know, Shonda Rhimes' new show.
Yeah, exactly. We needed to get to that point. And I mean, by having shows like this, really helps.
Yes. Okay. Your next section.
Yes.
Anita Hill.
Okay.
Because it's very timely.
It is.
And like, we just talked about Anita Hill, and then boom.
Here
Brett
we go.
Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court nominee. So Anita Hill has, she wrote an opinion article on the New York Times, and this is her opinion. So calling a shout out to all those other writers that you said need to like say, hey, this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
This is Anita Hill. And she's like, this is my opinion.
Hell yeah.
And so she has, you know, she, so Brett Kavanaugh is being accused of attempting to,
in college,
rape,
right?
And I think it was in high school. Yeah, because they were, it was an all, like, there's an all boys school and then an all girls school, and they would sometimes get together.
Yeah.
And it was actually like a lot of other women and people have come out saying that it was sort of this culture, just how we need to teach these young men how to be actual young men, that there was this like rape sort of culture that was happening at that school that Brett Kavanaugh went to.
Yuck.
Which I forget which Supreme Court justice also went to that
another
same school.
Another one went there too? Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Who's already there. So Christine Blasey Ford has come out and Anita Hill is like, ding, ding, ding. This sounds very familiar to me talking about, you know, Clarence Thomas. And she said, you know, the Senate Judiciary Committee still lacks protocol on these situations and they need to do better in 2018.
Yes.
And she has some suggestions.
Ooh, what she
one
have?
Of these is not true.
Oh, okay.
So she says they need to get the details of what the test. So one of these is not true.
Okay.
You guess the details of what the testimony processes would look like should be guided by experts who have devoted their careers to understanding sexual violence.
Okay.
B, refrain from putting the public interest in confronting sexual harassment against the need for a fair confirmation hearing.
Okay, this is going to be hard for me.
Select a neutral investigative body with experience in sexual misconduct cases that will investigate the incident in question and present its finding to the committees.
All right.
D.
Okay.
The senators need to vet this crazy hell hardcore attorney style cross-examination, go for her character, and leave no stone unturned because she lying. And then she wrote, I admit it. I put the pube on the Coke can. Senators. So, or E,
okay.
Don't rush the hearings. So one of these is not true.
Oh, thank you, James. For a minute, I thought you were going to be real cruel and just change a word for me and make it really hard and be like, Aneka is a dum-dum.
What do you mean? It's a tough... What? What? Okay, you're right. Yeah, she actually, instead of that, she said senators should simply be there to be a fact finder. So they're not... They're not, you know, attorneys, and no one, they don't need to cross examine her, that they need to just kind of blow up the whole entire situation. They need to hire someone to already go out there and do all that fact finding and digging and present the information and people who have been trained in sexual harassment cases.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So you got it right. That was a tough one. You don't think she was going off the rails with that one?
Yes.
All right, you're in your last section.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ready. Election and politics.
Yuck.
not fun anymore.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, this last one. Okay, one of these is not true. Voter fraud is real.
Mm.
Could be true, could not be true.
Okay.
Samantha Bee has gamified your voting experience.
Hmm.
Hashtag me too, McDonald's, time's up.
What? Okay.
Hillary Clinton, Helen Keller are out of the history books in Texas. One of these is not true.
What was the first one? Voter fraud. What was it about?
Oh, voter fraud is real.
That is true. McDonald's, but the McDonald's one isn't even a question or a statement.
Yeah, I don't know.
James!
I forgot to read this other one. sorry, there was one more. Cynthia Nixon was running on a platform saying that we should not give any reparations to black people. And that's why she lost.
That's the fake. You tricked me.
You know, I forgot to add that one name. So they were all, their loads are true. Teacher.
I know, you are a trickster. It's like doing this with a leprechaun. What is happening? Oh,
that is true. I just, you know, it's like taking a quiz, like if Puck from Midsummer's Night Dream was your teacher.
Is the truth.
That's me.
I know. Just okay, let's it. So
you're like, wait, what? There's one missing, and you're like, you're right.
Exactly. That's exactly.
And then it appears. So Cynthia Nixon was actually, I voted for Cynthia Nixon.
I would too if I was in New York, but Cuomo won. Womp womp.
I didn't realize how dope her politics were. I was going to vote for her no matter what, because I'm like, you're an actor, I'm an actor, this is fun, let's do it. But then the day before I read her like stance, I was like, oh damn, I would have been campaigning for her harder.
Yeah, she's super progressive.
And she wanted to take all the tax revenue that was coming in from if marijuana gets legalized, mm-hmm. and put that money, all that money goes to black and brown communities.
Fuck yeah.
She said, like, it's like reparations, which is like, duh. Oh my God. The war on drugs has wreaked havoc on black and brown communities.
Yes, it has. I mean, people are still in jail for it.
In New York, I think black people make up like 87% of the prison population. So either, either something is wrong and racist, or you're a racist because you think that black people belong in jail.
Hello, like,
you
know, like, ding, it's like ding, one ding. Of the.
And I'm like, oh my God, every state that's getting money for for legalizing marijuana, that money needs to go to black and brown communities.
Hello, because it should, because it's been decimated by it.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Hillary Clinton and Helen Keller are out of the history books in some parts of Texas.
Yeah, I heard about
because
that.
Apparently, they have not done anything like substantial for history. Like, what?
Like, that makes absolutely no sense.
And why are they going after Helen Keller?
I don't know. That's like the most random person.
This doesn't make any sense. And then, so hashtag Me Too, McDonald's, hands up. I guess you didn't read it. You're like, it's not even a question.
It's a hashtag.
So the women of McDonald's went on strike because there's a hot, they're like, hashtag Me Too, Time's Up. So they're tagging on to this movement. They had joined forces with Time's Up Legal Defense Fund.
Oh, wow.
And they're fighting for the $15, I guess, minimum wage. They're fighting for $15 pay across the board. So it's dedicated to raising wages and establishing unions for fast food employees. I forget that they don't have any unions.
Yeah, I mean, they pay shit in fast food. So I'm glad that they're fucking rising up for this because it is so important.
And 40% of all female fast food workers have been sexually harassed.
What?
40%.
That's too high.
And many of these are young teenagers, and this is their first job and their first experience. Can you even imagine the trauma that like at a very early age that this is happening at?
That's a crime. Oof. That is an absolute crime.
Samantha Bee did gamify your voting experience on her last episode of us Full Frontal. Mm-hmm. It's a really great app, highly recommend downloading it, getting out the vote. And then I'll save this for next time. I'll go into deeper. I'll deep throat this.
Yikes.
Is that what the kids say?
Okay.
We're gonna deep throat this
you
together.
You better make sure your parents are out of the home.
Stop it. Get the cameras ready. I just watched a David Lynch movie. We're gonna circle back into this next week because I wanted to go into more details about this. Mm-hmm. But Michael Herr of The Root talks about, you know, everyone talks about like, oh, voter fraud and it's a big conspiracy. And he's like, oh no, it is real, but not the way that you think about it.
Oh.
And it's all the different laws that have been passed to create voter disenfranchisement specifically with black communities, like laws that are going in place, different things that are happening.
Interesting.
So we'll dive into that next week.
Nice. I'm well.
Aneke, I have good news for you.
You got
all your answers right.
Woo! Even when the answer was not there, I sniffed that shit out.
Yeah. It's actually a really good one that you had to like know that something wasn't right because all of those were well done.
Thank you.
Well done. A+, all
Thank
the gold
you.
Stars, Aneke.
Thank you so
back
much.
Back to school with an A++.
I am back and it feels delicious.
Kaylee Smirl.
I'm Sydney McAvoy.
And I'm Taylor Smirl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleet?
Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Butts, 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 butts.
No.
Will you change your mind?
Hot damn, Aneke.
I'm
exhausted.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically a flash flood of all current events that has happened. And I poor choice of language. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all the people suffering from the hurricane right now. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Man. Yeah. There's so little time and so many things that would be happening.
Oh my God. I know. So because of that, I got bumped. But next week, you guys what better hold on to your butts, because I'm going to be talking about the Gullah people.
Ooh, I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. I also loved how, I'm so intrigued because especially you trailed off in your announcement about them. So I'm like, but where's she going? I want to go there too, not till next week.
You got to come back next week, y'all. Get ready for it.
I do want to circle back to something that you talked about real quick last week is Lawrence is back on Insecure. I haven't seen this week's episode. You know, I'm always a day behind.
Oh, spoiler alert.
And I kind of in the back of my head knew that was going to happen because you're like, someone comes back. And I was thinking, I think some random guy gets in the car in the first moment. And like, he was maybe in an episode like in season two. And I was like, is that the guy that Neke's like, someone comes back? And I'm like, oh, I guess I wondered where he was.
It was obvious. What?
And then I was like, that's what I thought it was going to happen. But I was like, well, why was Lawrence going to show up? I haven't seen this week's episode. So
you haven't.
Mums is the word. I was excited because Lawrence's best friend, I think, is so amazing. Chad is amazing.
Chad is great. Hilarious. That actor is so good.
Who are you? Like,
he's so fucking funny.
He's so funny. He's so fucking funny.
Even just with one look, he cracks me up.
He had like one line, I was dead already. And I was already just excited because I was like, oh my God, it's Chad. Because I was so sad that Lawrence wasn't in the show anymore, which means that we don't get Chad anymore.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, we're getting Chad now. And then boom, oh, we're also getting Lawrence. So I was super jazzed.
And Lawrence looks good.
See? Look at you, see? Getting on that good. Lawrence high. Hashtag.
I'm not going to say anything because I've seen this week's episode, but it makes me okay with everything. It really does.
Oh, come. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. That means he probably leaves.
No.
Oh, he stays.
I don't know if he stays or not, but he's not like, it's not like they like drop a piano on his head or something. Like, oh he's there.
Oh my God. I was disappointed with their portrayal of people on Molly. I think that's not what happens.
You think that is wrong?
Yeah, I don't think it was an accurate portrayal.
I'm a little bummed out. I'm interested to see where they're going with this pregnancy storyline of Tiffany, too. As a pregnant person, TM.
I was thinking about that. When I watched the episode, I was like, I was thinking about you in that episode.
Yeah, which is interesting because I just went on a girl's trip to be floating on a boat.
And you're on a boat because I was trying to get a hold of my baby girl and you're like, I'm on a boat.
It's the truth. I had spotty reception. and I went last year and it was fun, drank a lot. And I had a lot of fun this year too, because just the company is great. But there is something to be said about being a sober Sally. And being tired and just kind of there. So
right. And then wanting you to be like, keep going and doing the usual things.
Yeah, pushing yourself to maintain. So solidarity to all you pregnant women out there trying to maintain your normalcy, but it's hard. Take a break. Take care of yourself. Sometimes you just got to be like, no, hold up. I'm pregnant. It's a temporary condition. I'm going to not be pregnant and I'll have a baby and I'll probably be tired, but don't push yourself. You got to just do what you can do.
Yeah. I wish, would it be better if like if only all you, if I would imagine that'd be the best if like you had other, your other friends got pregnant around the same time. It might be a little weird, but at least you would be like, we're in this together.
Yeah.
Preggers.
But also, I think there's that, which I'm sure is super helpful, but there's also just knowing, like, for instance, if someone invited me to Coachella, I would be like, I'm going to sit it out this year. And just know that, you know, maybe start to put into the works of getting a babysitter for the next year, you know?
You can't
just force yourself to do these things that you used to
do. And I think
that's
what young Tiffany is learning. You got a few, I think she's still, like, what? They're, like, a lot of them are, like, 28, 29. So
yeah, geez, I think they're, like, late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, so they still figuring that shit out. Sidebar, we talked about the Emmys earlier, but I didn't get to mention this. I am really bummed that Keri Russell did not win an Emmy for the Americans.
Who won instead?
Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Oh, that weird TV show that I have not watched.
I tried to watch the first few minutes. Everyone's like, it's about comedy. And I like, you do comedy. And I just, I couldn't get into it. But I'm sure it's lovely. It's one of those things that, you know, how I feel like when there's like, for me, if a show's got like a lot of white people in it, it's got to really get me and really grip me in. Because I'm like, all right, I'm coming over here, white people. You got to grab me. And if you don't grab me, then I'm gone.
Yeah, you got higher expectations. You know who I am excited about who won, though?
Who?
Tandy Newton.
Yes, who dropped the F-bomb and they had to censor her speech. And everyone's like, what did she say?
She said fuck, duh.
Yeah.
She's the best. I think
3-second delay. Thank you, Janet Jackson.
I think that Tandy Newton is an unrepresented actress that people need to give props to. She's excellent. She's
been around for the ages, and I think Westworld, she's my, I come and stay for her on Westworld.
Everybody else, so I'm like, who? But for her,
anything
I'm like,
happens,
yes.
If anything happens to her character, like every time I thought she was going to die, I was like literally about to sign off, and they're like, just kidding, she's still here.
She's still here. Maeve is still here. Maeve forever.
I've been just having the Americans playing on in the background, and Keri Russell, I didn't realize, I didn't watch Felicity, I didn't see her in the Mickey Mouse Club, but she's a very fucking talented ass actress.
Yeah, as someone who watched Felicity.
Already knew.
Yeah, I knew. Not to mention, she's married to the guy she stars in with the Americans.
Oh my God, my mind was, I read one article on Vulture and my mind got blown four times. One, she didn't win the Emmy. Two,
I know, which is bullshit.
Two, she's married to Matthew Rhys.
Yes.
Three, he's Welsh. And they were married before, I think they're dating.
They met on the show, I thought.
I thought, my friend said that they were dating beforehand, which is also just crazy because, like, how dope to get cast with your, like, you know, lover. Oh, and this is how dope Keri Russell is, because somebody else, they won an Emmy.
Yeah.
And they proposed to their girlfriend during their acceptance speech. Right. And Keri Russell says to Matthew, and he said this in his acceptance speech, he was like, Keri Russell said, if you propose to me while you're up there, I'll punch you in the face. I love it.
They have like kids together and stuff too. I love it.
Yeah. Good
couple.
I highly recommend like her and the Americans. She plays so many different characters. And he even says like he won that award because of her. Because she makes him good. You know,
I love
like
it.
You're only as good as your scene partner.
Yeah,
and
so true.
It just sucks that it's like their last year. And she really worked her ass off on that entire show. Because she has to play so many different. She's playing a spy. But then she's a character within a character. And like
it's
she
amazing.
Just does. I didn't know. You watched the Americans?
I watched the first season.
Okay.
And then I fell off.
Better.
But I need to go back.
You know what? It's on. If you need my Amazon Prime account, girl, I will give it to
you're
you.
You're so generous. Thank you.
Yeah. So the password is. No. Oh, we're still recording.
But like, I completely agree with you. I feel like she's another underrated actress that people don't really give props to, and she's been around for decades.
Ages.
So
she should be right up there with Ryan Gosling. Like, you know,
she's better than Ryan Gosling. Sorry,
I agree.
Ryan. Sorry.
Here's the thing. Keri Russell, don't count her out. Her best days are before her because
she still got her career ahead of her.
She just got into she's in the new Star Wars. So
lot of interesting people in that movie.
Yeah,
what's
not
the space
us
Doctor Who
yet
guy is in it too?
Oh, Doctor Who.
I forget his name, but he was also in The Crown, which is another strange TV show that grabbed my interest, but we won't have to get into that right now.
Okay, we'll put a pin on that one. We'll put a pin in that. Put a pin in it. Oh, real quick announcements. I am the new community programs coordinator at the National Queer Theater.
Yay!
We are doing a queer playwrights reading series. Mm. And I just wanted to put this one out there for one of the first ones that we're doing. The first one's going to be September 29th. Mm. We'll put a link to it. And it suggests a donation of $10. And it's a play. It's a new play called All the Sex I Want. Mm. And it's a play about asexuality.
Ooh, a topic that is not covered a lot.
Right, yeah. And so, I mean, I've never even seen a story or play written about asexuality. It's very, the form that it's written in, it's a really, really cool show. And so especially for those of you who are ace and like looking to hear your stories be told or like be in a community setting, there's going to be a poster discussion. It's going to be a really, really amazing night. So if you are in New York, it's going to be at the, I think it's going to be at Dixon Place, Place Theater. I'll put a link to it in the show at the National Queer Theater.
Love it. Go support
September
29th.
At 8 p.m. Support them. I'm just a face.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. I'm just telling you about it. Yeah. awesome. And I'm gonna be at Caroline's on Broadway doing some stand up. Yes. Come get your laugh on at September 24th.
Ooh, soon.
At 7 p.m., you can get $5 tickets by making a reservation at 212-757-4100. Yes, that's right. You have to use your phone as a phone and dial to get a reservation because they old school, y'all. Old school.
Go see James. He's fucking funny. If you like the podcast, just go support him in person. I mean, come on. How awesome is that?
And if you don't like the podcast, come see me.
You know what? Why are you listening to the yen?
You know what? Dedication. I will say that.
Fucking dedication. If you made it to this point in the podcast, you like it.
I'm going to give you some snaps. I'm going to give you some snaps. Well, Aneke, as usual, I had a blast.
Thank
you for blessing me
with your
fabulousness
vivaciousness
and your courageousness and your smartness.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All of that times 10 for you. It's been a great episode again. Thank you guys for listening, for being a fucking awesome audience. We love
aren't
you.
Aren't they good?
Yeah, oh,
aren't
they good? They're so quiet.
Y'all good. It's so quiet over there. I can't hear you. Well, you know what? Well, you are a little quiet on the social media, so
Tweet at us. Tweet at us, Minority Corner, spelled with a K. Email us at minoritycorner@gmail.com. Facebook us. Join the Minority Kids Playground.
Well, yeah. You covered it all. Well, thank you so much for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together, we're the majority.
Love y'all.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.